Zone from Fox Sports.
Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night at 9 p.m., a day late and an hour later, I think, whatever, than our usual time. But we're here to give you the pre-Armageddon dose of the green and gold gospel, a little something to fill your ears with while you may just be sitting inside your house, hopefully, for the next, 24, 48, 70, 96-something hours or so. This is the Unused Substitutes, brought to you by our good friends over at Shamrock Pub and the Beautiful Game Network at BGN FM, thebgn.fm online. I might have mixed that up. It might be at thebgn FM and bgn.fm. Something, something or other. I kind of got other things on my mind right now. But I am still Matt, as far as I know, and Dan is there too.
For now, until I get blown away.
Hanging in there?
Yeah, I'm good. I was feeling quite confident until, you know, new models, and then it'll change, and I'll be like, yeah, we're good. And then tomorrow morning I'll wake up, and it'll be, like, aimed right for my house.
So, honestly, here's like, because I was at work today, and it was our last day of school before they shut us down for Friday, and now the call has gone out that Governor Scott has ordered all public schools and universities, state offices, et cetera, closed Friday through Monday. So it looks like I'll be at home for Monday as well. And then I was converting my room into a shelter because I have an upstairs classroom, and they're opening four of the schools as shelters tomorrow, and then the rest have to be ready, like, on standby. So I had to get the room converted, which is, like, five times as much work as it is getting the room ready to begin the school year or end the school year. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting when we go back. Like, I don't know how early I'm going to have to be there to reset my room. It'd be really nice if we could get, like, an extra day to just go in and work and get set up again, because I mean, literally everything's packed in the closet. All the desks are shoved against one of the walls, and it's kind of crazy. But I left here this morning. I get up around like 6 o'clock and leave here like around 7. I check the 5 a.m. forecast, and I'll tell you what, I haven't checked a government website so much that didn't involve the Electoral College in quite a number of years. But I'm on there like every 3 hours seeing what the updates are. So when I left here in the morning, I checked the 5 o'clock one, and I left, and I got home this afternoon probably around 5:30, and everyone's like, oh, it's going back west, it's coming back west. Yeah, it is, but then when I refreshed it, like, it's the exact same as the 5 a.m. track. There was just that little drift to the east during the day, so I keep using that to settle myself down a little bit.
Yeah, I think the tack west everybody's, you know, going on about is the European model BS that has it going right up the center of the state. But it's still almost, you know, 900 miles out, and we won't know for days.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part of it, is that we know it's coming, but it's still, even though it's a really fast moving one, it's still, you know, days away, and it's just like sitting here waiting to take a punch. It's like when you were a kid in school and you got into it with somebody at like first or second period, and they said, okay, we're going to fight after school, you know, and you had to go through that whole day kind of, you know, trying to figure out if there's some way to get out of it or, you know, something would happen and, you know, you wouldn't have to do it. That's kind of what this feels like right now.
Yeah. But I'm sure everybody's tired of Armageddon. So the Rowdies played two games since we last did this.
I know. Nice segue. Yeah, we originally were going to do Wednesday, and then you had something going on. I had something going on. So and then the game was going on, too. And we're like, well, let's not do a show talking about a 4-2 loss on the road. Let's wait and see what happens. And luckily, the Rowdies came through. So we got a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. And in the interest of time and everything else, we're not going to – let's just do kind of good, bad, ugly for both games combined. And then we can figure out man of the match, you know, and I think maybe we'll just skip over stat of the match for tonight because we got other stuff to talk about. But the first game on this three-game road swing, which has now been shortened to two because the game for Saturday has been rescheduled for later on, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the first game of the road swing – the Rowdies traveled to, what is it, is it New Jersey, or are they actually in New York where they play?
I thought it was New, because it wasn't at Red Bull Arena, which is in New Jersey.
Was it Montclair State or something like that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Who knows, but they traveled up north, they played crap, and it was one to forget.
Yeah, Red Bull jumps out to – was it a one-goal or two-goal lead they got out to at first?
There's been so much on my mind. I completely forgot that game.
I know. They fought their way back into it. I know at one point Gorski gets us within a goal at 3-2, and then they score again near the end. It was raining. It was artificial turf. It was away. It was – I don't know. It was a combination of every bad omen this team has had for 6-7 years now that went into this. And I haven't really had a chance to look at it, you know, closer or watch a replay and you know, pick out all the individual things that went wrong. But, you know, in our last show before we during the bye week one, I predicted a win, a draw, and a loss on this road swing. I'm a draw away from being right on this. And I didn't really think that would be the game we'd lose, would be the Red Bull one. I thought maybe we have a better chance of the Bethlehem one. We'll see. But, yeah, it happened. And then last night, Harrisburg, Rowdies go up to Harrisburg City for the replay. They came here earlier in the season. Stop us if this sounds familiar. Harrisburg jumped out to a one-goal lead early on. But within a space of, what was it, like 5 or 6 minutes, the Rowdies threw Georgie Ristoff and Martin Patterson take the lead 2-1. And it looks like they're going to see it through till halftime, and they give up one, was I think it was off a free kick just before the end of the first half to go in at 2-2. But then Alex Morel is brought down in the box in the second half. Georgie steps up and converts the penalty for his team-leading, what is he at now, 10 goals? Patterson's on 9?
Yes. Or no, I think that was Patterson's 10th. Georgie's on 11 now.
Is it? Because I thought they were 9-9 after they went back-to-back, and then...
I thought Patto at the in his post-game interview said he was at 10.
I'm not going to argue with the guy. He's Wolverine. I mean, I'm not doing it. I don't want to be the next corner flag that he comes up against. So I'll take their word for it. Good, bad, ugly out of the two matches.
Good was the resilience and in the Harrisburg match, and you could probably say maybe a little bit in New York. They tried to fight back into that one, but. It was hard, but Georgie Ristoff, Marcel Schaefer, Martin Patterson, they did the thing yesterday and kept us going in that game. It was wonderful. Bad was the Red Bulls match. Like I said, rain, turf, everything black. It was bad.
Yeah, every excuse we can throw out there, that's what it was.
But I don't really think I have an ugly. It felt ugly after the Red Bulls game, but. This team came out angry. It was a feisty game in Harrisburg, but they came out hungry and angry, and it worked. And we did start slow, which would still be a bad for me. But once they got woken up by that first goal, you can see that, you know, the quality in this team. But we need to do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, can we just start telling him when Stu does his team talk before they go out there, just tell him, hey, you're already a goal down. Could we even pay the scoreboard operator to put a one up under the other team? Because it's great that we have this ability and this desire to fight back, but it's even better to not be in that spot in the first place, because it's going to bite us one of these days. I mean, it has. It's going to continue to.
Yeah, we need to just, I don't know when this trend happened this season where we decided to, you know, start so slow. We were starting second halves kind of slow. Now we just start both halves slow, and right. It's getting kind of frustrating. This team shouldn't have to be playing from behind for so long and so much. We're quality at the back. We're quality in the midfield. We can score, obviously. So just take it from the get-go and, you know, win.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that we could say on paper, but even on grass and even on artificial turf should be going out and really just, in my opinion, kind of, you know, bossing the game around for some of these teams. And, you know, it's bad enough to come out seemingly flat against a club, but then to actually lose to Red Bull too. Which, again, I'm, you know, no insult to those guys, but those are kids in a development system. That those are teams that we need to be beating. These are points that we need at this point of the season, because we've once again managed to work ourselves into a precarious spot playoff wise. At least, I mean, we're good up there, you know, for a playoff spot, but to get a home game, which is what we need, obviously, since we only have two wins on the road this year. It's got to get better, or there's going to have to be some changes.
Yeah, because, I mean, our two road wins came against Toronto FC, who is dead last, and Harrisburg City Islanders, who are right above them. What?
And they were both comebacks. We were down to both of them early on.
Yeah. And, I mean, to put into perspective, their goal differential is 23 for TFC2 and negative 23 and negative 20. Respectively, like when you are going, like if we're playing, say we're in fifth place at the worst, we're going to end up likely be playing Rochester, who we didn't, you know, we'd have to beat on the road. That right. would be difficult. Charleston would be difficult. Charlotte, difficult. Louisville will be a hell of a task. We looked like crap up there.
Yeah. The key to a quality postseason is going to be getting at least a home game, and then hope, you know, at that point probably having to try to steal a win on the road afterwards, because as we get higher up, it'll start getting into some of these road games for some of the higher teams above us. Yeah, but I mean, you can look at right now, if we look at the current playoff situation, we're holding on to that fourth spot, I guess basically on goal differential right now, or goal scored, whatever it is. Because Charleston has 41 points, Rochester has 41 points, same as us. Rochester has two games in hand on us, but if you look at the teams below us, Rochester, we couldn't win there. Orlando City B couldn't win there, should have won there, and then you can call that a refereeing decision, but they also had a lot of opportunities to put more than one goal on the board and not turtle up like they did. Red Bull 2 couldn't win on the road, and then Cincinnati, that was a draw on the road, and that'll be another tough game.
Yeah. I don't know Rochester's schedule, but we have a bye. Well, we got, you know, the Hurricane game.
Yeah. But we do have one other bye coming up in a couple of weeks.
So they play the 9th, the 16th, and the 20th, and the 23rd. So they'll be caught up quite soon. But it looks like they are going to play at home versus Ottawa. Then they're going to Pittsburgh and Louisville and Richmond before. And so they got a nice little road trip coming up. So that might spare us as they catch up on games played.
I don't want to trivialize the potential impact of the storm out there, but I don't think anything can be worse than having to watch a Rochester Ottawa game.
You are correct, sir.
I'm like, it's making my back like shiver thinking about it. I mean, I'll go along with you. Getting the win in this game, like this was that was a must win against Harrisburg because it's a team we should beat, and we needed 3 points in that situation. Bad, yeah. I'll go back. You can call that Red Bull two game bad. Ugly, just the way we're starting off games these days. I'll call it an ugly because you start off too many games slow like this, and you're going on the road for a playoff game, and that frightens me. It's not good enough, in my opinion, to just make the playoffs this year. You've got to get a win. You've got to get a little run going. To me, it's semifinals are busted before I start calling it a good season. Conference semifinals, I'd say. Obviously want to win the whole thing, but that would be where I start to say, this was pretty good. Although I will say out there, well, no, I'm going to throw that. I'm going to say that for stat of the match. Never mind.
I thought we weren't doing stat of the match. You're killing me, Smalls.
I got one that'll kind of count as a stat of the match, but it's not really for one particular match.
Okay.
I'll throw it out there in a little bit. I am going to have a man of the match for the Red Bull. It's going to be a tie between Steve Hamlin from This is Cosmos Country and Jake Nutting from The Unused Substitutes, who both made the trip out there to provide some eyes on the field coverage. Steve did a ton of great pictures. I'm going to try and get some of those up on the website, just do a little gallery of the game because he took some fantastic shots. And Jake had his recap up there. I've got some time on my hands, so as long as I have electricity, I might as well do something with it.
Yeah.
And then obviously last night, man of the match is Georgie.
Definitely. He put the team on the back, though.
And as much as we, talking about the storm and trying not to focus too much on it, knowing it was front and center on their minds, you can tell by reading the articles on the Rowdy site and on the USL site. First of all, shout out to Bethlehem and USL for working with the club to reschedule this game so the guys could get home and get with their families and do the things they need to do in this situation. Because, for a lot of these guys, especially, some of these overseas and foreign European guys, this is a new thing. This is a first time for them. So, and it's going to be they picked a hell of a one to have for the first time.
It's going to be huge, Tampa.
Huge. Oh, that's terrible.
If one thing comes out of this, I hope that those Kia lots get destroyed.
But then he'll go buy some new property to build a new one, and then he can go talk to the Armada's owner who will pay his closing fees. Had to do that. All right, my stat of the match. We've been griping about some of the results all year long, some of these games that we feel they should have won. But I went through last night and just took a look and just had a thought in my head. Last night was the Rowdies' 11th win on the season. They have not won that many games since the 2012 championship season. That year they won 12, 2011 they won 11, and every year after that it's been 10 and under. So we've got a chance to, and in some of those seasons there weren't as many games because there weren't as many teams in NASL, much like there seems, I guess it's what's happening now. Hang in there, NASL, we still love you, kind of.
Nope.
Yeah, like to keep them, alive at some point. The team's alive, the employees and paid and things like that. But there's a solid chance, even though we have kind of a tough remaining set of games against pretty much all playoff competition, to pull off the most wins in a modern era season. So that's something I hope that they're is on their minds, and it kind of balances some of the unwanted results we've had during the season. There's still a chance out there to get put a pretty good number on the board.
Yeah, I mean, if I think we've had this conversation before. We expected USL to be worse. I know we expected this team to be better, and I think they are better in some of these games. Mm-hmm. But you can't take away what we've done. We shouldn't be fighting for a home playoff spot. We should have one solidly locked up. But this team has been really good and has been entertaining, especially at home, all year. So give it a little credit there. Just glancing here at the standings, Charleston's form has been absolutely crap.
Yep, and their game for, I think, this weekend just got rescheduled also.
I would hope so. So there's a chance we can jump into third place. That I think we might be able to solidify fourth if we beat Charlotte on the 23rd.
Right.
And then, you know, and continue on. But because I think Rochester will end up jumping into third, but I think we can jump Charleston there for the fourth spot. So it's going to be an interesting time. And I'm kind of glad, like, you know, things are on the line. We're not just coasting into, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
We won't coast into the playoffs. How many times have we seen that where the number one seed has it pretty much locked up early and then they're like, they take their foot off the gas and they like back into the playoffs and blow it?
Well, remember that super stupid setup that NASL had where the only two teams got in and it was the spring and fall season winners, and Atlanta won it and just did nothing the second half of the year because their spot was already assured, and they just got taken apart by the Cosmos in the final.
Yeah. That whole split season, you already got a playoff or the championship berth. Of course they don't care. They won eight games or whatever. They played eight games and they have a playoff or like a championship berth. Stupid. But that's one of the many reasons why NASL sucks. But, wow, the Western Conference is insane. How have we...
I know, right? There's so many... I still haven't figured out. Are they really good or is it a couple of really good teams and a whole lot of not-so-great teams?
There's a whole lot of not so great, it looks like.
Because you've got teams like Reno, who is just, you know, kind of scoring goals at will and you know, maybe sometimes even unintentionally, a number they're scoring. Salt Lake and, I mean, not Salt Lake, but...
Real Monarchs, yeah. Or whatever the heck they're called.
There's so many teams that are just so good out there right now, but, you know, and that's where I wish we had at least a little bit of interleague play to kind of get an idea of how good some of these other teams are and how good these other conferences are. But we just really have no idea until you get to the final.
Yeah. Swope Park was supposed to be a great team last year, and New York, the Red Bulls 2 embarrassed them. I watched that game.
Yeah.
The defending was terrible.
Yeah, it was almost like watching La Liga. I mean, not La Liga, Liga MX.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. But and then now look where Red Bulls 2 are this year. Like, I get it. Yeah. I mean, they're academy teams, but those are two like academy teams per se that were playing in the final. And now, I mean, Swope Park's not doing so bad, but we make fun of these two teams. But the two teams who played for the final. Like, this league is better than we give it credit for.
Yeah, I wonder if it's also a case kind of, and I have to go back and look at everything, but, you know, the independent teams kind of really, you know, beating each other up to get into the playoffs, and by the time they get there, they're a little worn out, and the two teams where the pressure's not on them really as much, they're just there to develop, that maybe it's a different mindset, maybe it's a little bit, I don't want to say easier run, but they have a different approach to it.
Yeah, it's going to be... I don't know. I mean, I want to see, honestly, what we do, how far we go this year and what we do in the off season to see. So we have better expectations and a better feel for everything next year. Obviously, like, I'm rooting. I hope we pull off a championship win. But let's take a look to see where we are.
Right. This offseason is going to be affected too by, news from MLS and, Well, I don't know if we were going to, I don't know if we were going to or want to talk about it, but you know, now that NASL has been denied Division II sanctioning, I saw someone tweeting about this, and I kind of feel the same way. I think a lot of people just assume that USL is going to be Division II because NASL isn't, but you know, there's still some teams in some areas where this league hasn't met all the requirements too, and supposedly that's going to be addressed. I saw from Neil Morris, what I think in later September or October. So, you know, it could be some crazy potential that you have no D2 and a bunch of D3 leagues. I was kind of shocked by the NASL decision because U.S. soccer actually sticking to their guidelines instead of just wavering everybody that and anybody on the way. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. We can talk about that. I think NASL's done. They're going to reapply. But I think I forgot who I saw talking about on Twitter. They have three scheduled expansions.
Right. And
you also have the ones up to
get there. But now it.
But, I mean, even that, you know, you have the Deltas rumored to be folding at the end of the year.
Right.
Edmonton's looking to go to the Canadian Premier League. And I think another team wants to jump ship, too. So,
I mean, it's going to be a replay of last year all over again, because if the rumors were true about the buyout dropping to like $50,000 if there was only a certain number of teams in the league, no one wanted to be that last team last year, if this is true, to pay the full amount, and then everyone else would leave when it drops to like 50, because I think the original buyout was like $2 or $2.5 million or something like that. I could be completely wrong about it. Probably am. But it dropped to something really insanely low. No one wants to be that last team to pay the full price. But this second time around, someone might just bite the bullet and say, you know, we'll deal with it. And, you know, for a team like Edmonton, who has been probably the most heart and soul NASL club over the last couple seasons, if, you know, for them to make the jump, you know, who's not to say that maybe Canadian Premier League slips them some cash and says, here you go. That'd be mighty polite. That seems to be a Canadian thing to do. So maybe they pay it, and then that's the last brick that lets everybody else out. And then there's going to be a domino effect, because some of those clubs will probably jump to USL. But, you know, clubs like the Cosmos, the Jacksonville guy doesn't seem to be too interested in making a switch. He wants to just go and buy up all the teams now and pay no closing costs on it. But that's not healthy for the league either, to have basically three owners.
Well, isn't that, that's against USSF standards as well, right? Like, that was the whole thing. Everybody, if they're celebrating the fact that this Jacksonville guy wants to buy up teams, but gave Bill Edwards crap when he offered to, you know, buy the Strikers, come on now. Like, this is getting hypocritical, right? Like, one guy is the savior to the league for wanting to do what the guy trying to save the league that was actually funneling money into teams. Right. It's just silly. But side note, back to your point about scoring goals. They've scored 59 goals this season so far.
That's insane.
We scored 40. Whoops. And they've missed three penalties. They've had eight penalty chances. How many have we had?
What we haven't had many. I know that.
Let's see. Team. What? No.
Like, if it's more than five, I'll be impressed.
Let's see. Attack. Three penalties. That's all we've had.
That
three.
Sounded about right.
And we've made all three.
I was going to say, we've scored three, all of them, haven't we?
Reno's had eight. Good Lord.
Attacking football pays off in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt that they have the like all-time USL scorer, Dane Kelly, on the roster, who's been scoring tons of goals this year.
I was going to say, did he just reach that like milestone this year by only playing this year? Because that's what it feels like.
No, actually, I think he came back. I think he had the record for a while, and I think someone else may have overtook him, and he came back to the league and took over like three or four games in. Just, it's insane. It's crazy. But anything else to say about those games?
They were fun. Jake said for the recap, we're on Facebook. enjoy those three road points because it's going to be a while before we see these guys again.
At first, I was reading that. I was like, that's kind of, you know, pessimistic, saying it'll be a while before we have more road points. But then it just was, you know, before the games. Because what, we have 17 days off between, I mean, the next game is the September 23rd game at home.
Yep.
With Shaggy.
Yeah, with the post-game concert from Mr. Boombastic. Like, let's do that. I can't tell you how excited I am to see Shaggy. Like,
I know. That's pretty cool. And who knows, by the 23rd, we all might be needing a diversion anyway.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not even trying to be like, I'm not a hype man or anything. I am genuinely excited for Shaggy. Like, Jake sent us two pieces of information, and I was like, F yes. And I was like, not to that, to Shaggy. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty fun. Hopefully, unlike the, what was it, the Cool in the Gang concert?
I swear to God, if Shaggy gets rained out after Armageddon, I am going to find out how to punch Mother Nature in the face.
Just set the whole sky on fire.
I will.
All right, so our playoffs standings, and I kind of went through some of this a little bit ago, but we'll take a look at it again. Louisville, currently top of the league, 47 points, still has two games in hand on us. They've played 24, we've played 26. Charlotte, 47 points, we're level on games with them. Charleston, 41 points, us, 41 points. Rochester, 41 points. We're level on games with Charleston. Rochester has two games in hand. Orlando City B in the sixth spot with 36 points. We have one game in hand on them. Red Bull 2, 35, and Cincy 35. Bethlehem is just behind them in the ninth spot. And nice result tonight. The one game that would has interest to us. Richmond Kickers went on the road to the Litter Box in Orlando. And beat Orlando City B 2-0. So nice. Keeps. I think Orlando only picked up 1 point in the last week. Richmond ended the Orlando's unbeaten streak, which is nice. The currently scheduled games for this weekend, I think all of these ones will come off because they don't seem like it's anything that could be affected. Rochester hosting Ottawa. Pittsburgh hosting Louisville.
I think I'd rather sit through the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I know. Like outside.
Yeah, like in Miami. In a beach chair and an umbrella and just deal with it.
Toronto FC 2 versus Red Bull 2. Look, if Red Bull can put 4 up on us, they should score about 8 or 9 against Toronto FC. I need to go back and look and see who it was. There was a game someone tweeted out, because I keep a list of all the supporters groups in USL. It was either there or on one of the Facebook pages. They call it the biggest little beatdown. There was like a 9-0 game a year or two ago in USL, and it's one of these teams from that's playing this weekend, I think. Biggest little beatdown. I have a feeling it involved LA Galaxy 2, so it may have been that game that was yesterday because they played in that one. I think that's actually what it was. But that's crazy. I mean, that'd be like if we lost, 7-2 to San Antonio. Wait.
Oh.
No.
Because he had us figured out. We were predictable.
If we went to their stadium and what was it? What did we beat them there? Was it 4-3 or 5-2 or something like that?
I think so.
The stadium opening game. But that'll be another game. And then lastly, St. Louis versus Harrisburg. Both teams are not really in
contention.
In playoff contention, but, still an interesting one to watch, at least. Probably out of those four games, I'd be most interested in watching Pittsburgh and Louisville, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would think so.
Other news. There was some confusion about this last night. I went to my connections at the league office. Georgie picked up a yellow, as Georgie is wont to do. Rowdy's Game Day tweeted, I think that's another suspension for him. And I was confused because Georgie wasn't listed on the discipline report that came out yesterday morning. That was Georgie's seventh yellow, so now he is one yellow away from a suspension, undisclosed fine. Keith Savage is the only other player still on the discipline list, one away from his fifth yellow. Hasn't had a chance to work it off by not getting yellows because he has, I don't think he's been playing, but so he just keeps popping up on there every week.
I think having 17 days between yellow cards should mean he shouldn't get suspended.
I think so. I think just being Keith Savage means you shouldn't get a, you shouldn't be suspended.
I was talking about Georgie
well,
as
yeah,
well.
That too. Maybe the hurricane can blow some of them away.
Yeah.
Blow a few off the list there.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll just stand out front with a red card.
So the 23rd, the game on the 23rd is we talked a little bit about it. It's last weekend, some new stuff this week. That's going to be a heck of a game because it's all the Go Gold stuff. They're donating what $2 from every ticket sold, including season tickets already sold, to the Childhood Cancer Foundation, whatever, I forget the full name of the charity, but it's going towards that, and also Shaggy in the postgame concert. So, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, you sometimes you look at these concerts and you're like, oh, they're trying to juice the attendance or something, but they're trying to juice the attendance possibly in a game where they're going to donate money from every ticket, and they have another donation on the line for wins and for shutouts. So that's kind of a cool thing.
It's 100% cool, and I get to see Shaggy. I mean,
and you get to see Shaggy happening right after the game.
This is something I've wanted to do since I was like 12.
So even if you don't like soccer, which if you don't, I don't understand why you're not, why you're listening to this podcast in the first place. But thank you, and we are the Unused Substitutes. Come to the game and support a good cause, and see Shaggy. Because Shaggy's
yeah.
always cool. Anything else? What are we going to talk about?
So, if we're just going to talk about random stuff, yeah, I found something better than Tinder.
Oh gosh, what now?
Cruising through the Hurricane Irma Facebook groups and finding the single women that have no place to evacuate to, and then invite them over.
Are you talking about the go outside and wave your arms in a circle to?
Yeah, go through all of them.
Those are fantastic. I think everyone that pops up on my Facebook feed, I've been RSVPing to going outside and shooting your guns at Irma.
I just did the Kamehameha because I'm a Dragon Ball Z nerd, and that one was right in my
wheelhouse. I did see that one. My my favorite thing out of all those so far is someone actually put together like a textbook graphic. And it's for the go outside and shoot your guns at Irma, and it's like a sniper or whatever in position, and he's firing bullets at this like line art hurricane, and it shows how the bullets would go through the hurricane and come back around and be thrown back at you. So they're like, you know, just be careful because you're just shooting yourself. And I did see I saw another one today. This might be my new current favorite. Everyone go outside and spin fidget spinners clockwise or counterclockwise, whatever one's the opposite way of storm to push Irma away.
Yeah. I mean, at least this, with having a roommate that is from Ohio and still has a lot of friends and family in Ohio, I have gotten quite a few messages of, you know, like, you guys need to get out of there. And I'm like, chill. We got this. No, it's going to be, and I get their fear. And I'm sure national news is hyping this,
right,
as Armageddon, but I keep telling them that, you know, A, this isn't my first rodeo. B, where it's coming, all of the paths so far have us fine. It'll be some wind and some rain, but outside world, when you haven't done this before, I can see why it's scary. But us Floridians and the ones that have done this all this crap before, we still have a sense of humor about it. In fact, I mean, unless you've had to go through like Ivan or one of those massive ones that hit the panhandle or something, like I can get some anxiety over that.
Right.
But I mean, I'm having fun. I think two friends are going to stay here because they're in low-lying areas in Tampa that flood on a afternoon thunderstorm.
Oh God! Yeah, so, get them out. Get them over to
you. Yeah. So they're going to come hang out here for the weekend. I'm going to go to Emerald City Comics again. I'm going to go there tomorrow after work probably and buy some new board games.
I went to Super Target down here in yesterday, not for hurricane supplies. I went just to get I wanted some stuff for my classroom actually, and all the school supply stuff is half off. And I figured that place was going to be packed, but I pulled up there at about 4:30. I got the closest parking spot that wasn't a handicapped spot that you could get to the front doors. I walked in. They had water stacked by the front door. Now, it was like all the Fiji and the like name brand expensive stuff, and it's all they had left. But it was right there, and there could not have been 20 people in the whole store. I've never seen that store like that empty. So I cruised around. I picked up a couple other things. And I got some, you know, little food and drinks and stuff too. But yeah, I mean, and look, it's totally, like, I've lived in Florida my entire life. I'm, very close to, well, 41 and a half, in a couple weeks, plus a couple weeks. And I've lived on either side of the state, on both coasts. I lived an hour north of Andrew when Andrew hit. Andrew, as we have now seen, is a midget compared to the size of this storm. So, yeah, it's scary as hell. But number one, nothing's happening tonight. Nothing's happening tomorrow. I've got options that if we need to go, I'm not in a mandatory evacuation zone, and it would take a while to get there. And house is a little bit older than me and wood frame, so I'm kind of worried about that. But I'm my sense of humor and all my jokes on Twitter are more of a way to deal with the anxiety rather than trying to trivialize it. It's a big, scary thing, and do what you got to do to be safe. But
yes, prepare, be safe first, and then make jokes.
But yeah, exactly. You can't, and that's another thing. Because it's days away, we're being bombarded, especially every 3 hours when the new forecast comes out. We're being bombarded with it, and everything they're going to tell you is always going to be the worst case scenario, because they want people to be prepared and to plan for the worst case scenario, and hopefully it won't be, and it rarely is, which is a nice thing. But it's still good to be prepared for it anyway. I know there'll be people complaining in the next day or two. People are complaining about, the USF football game got canceled. They didn't want to take the risk of flying guys up to Connecticut and coming back. And people are like, oh, there's plenty of time. There's this and that. Like, these players have families living in Miami and in South Florida who aren't getting out, aren't able to get out. Like, that's the thing on their mind. And we saw, just from reading the articles from the USL site and the Rowdy site, like, this was a thing that was on their mind during the Harrisburg game, which maybe makes that win even more impressive. So it's do what you got to do, but also, yeah, don't lose your sense of humor, because that's what's going to keep you sane through all this, and you're going to need it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a job that requires much focus, but this is what's been, honestly, like, since what, 2-3 days ago, has been the only thing I've been thinking about.
Oh yeah,
is making, running down checklists in my head. Did we get this? Did we get this? Did we get this? Okay, texting Daisha, like, what do we have? Texting Ashley and Allison, like, you guys coming up here? Like, bring this if you guys. I got this. Bring this if you want it. I got this. We got an air mattress just in case. Like, candles out the yin yang, because Daisha's a freaking candle hoarder anyway. I'm gonna go buy some board games so we can, if need be, we play them by candlelight. There's this cool one. It's a Sherlock Holmes one where it's got like 10 different or 12 different murder mysteries in it, and you work together to try to solve the murder.
Oh,
so
what's
the, yeah,
I think I've heard of this. What's the name though?
I think it was just called like Sherlock Holmes. Hold on.
I think I've seen something like that.
Yeah, it was called Sherlock Holmes. It's the Jack the Ripper. It's Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. And this is the Jack the Ripper one.
Huh. I'll have to look for that. I got my wife one for Christmas last year that's four different – it's like an escape room kind of board game. But
yeah, I see the escape room stuff, and I was wondering how that played.
We haven't done it yet. And there's some I've seen where it's – you get it, and there's like one scenario, and they're like, okay, and now you're done. Give it to a friend and let them play. Like, the one I got has four different ones. So we can.
They've
all
made expansions for them too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them with expansions. So that's a thing. We might end up doing that. But yeah, I mean, it's – and you're talking about your job, and that's, we've known probably for about a day or two that there would be no school tomorrow, and now we know Monday. I was already kind of assuming Monday anyway, and we had people kind of talking about, and we, people at work, and we're, can't believe that we're here today. We have to do this stuff, we have to do that stuff, and I'm like, yes, but at the same time, like, I've got 150 kids that I need to keep calm because they need someone keeping them calm too, and that's another way that I kind of kept myself calm as well. And I've got my wife and daughter, and we're working. My wife spent 4 hours today in line in her car to get sandbags. So it's you do what you got to do. But don't lose a sense of humor, because you're just gonna free, if you run, if you keep your adrenaline and your anxiety levels in the red for 3 days. When the storm comes and you need to be at the top of your game, it's going to be kind of difficult to do that.
Well, I'll be drunk. I hope I don't have to be at the top of my game.
I'll speak from experience. That's a good thing to do, like, after it's passed, and hopefully this one will pass relatively quickly so that we can. And now that I'm going to be off Monday, I think I'll be doing that Sunday evening too. That's my hope. But I know a lot of people that have left, and I've thought about it. My sister's up in Atlanta. We made arrangements that if we needed to go up there, we could. But number one, if you look at it, the storm's kind of heading that way after it leaves here to begin with. So I'm kind of deciding whether or not if we went up there, okay, maybe we could find a back road that wasn't super crowded. Maybe we could, have enough gas or find gas along the way, which is kind of my big concern, but then it's getting back after it's over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of balancing the concerns, but you know, luckily all the shelters in Manatee County are schools, and I know these people. So if I need to go somewhere, then we'll have to. But I definitely think after this one's done, like, I've never had shutters or plywood or anything for windows in my lifetime, either as a kid or now. And I definitely think that's one thing I'm going to do next. We've kind of been talking about what we're going to do after this is gone to be kind of prepared for the next one.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to pull a Ryan Sudol and drive to Miami the day before to call a game that's happening in Orlando and then making his way back here.
Nobody said he was bright.
I was going to try. We went out to Duffy's two nights ago, I think, for dinner. And I was like, man, I should try and talk him out of this. I didn't. That's what he gets for keeping the power cord on the soundboard.
Yeah. You know, maybe he just needs some sugar.
But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. We'll be back when we can.
I mean, if I had the software, I would just do this live.
Oh, you did it again!
I stopped myself. I muttered that.
I think I heard that one. I think it's understandable in the situation.
Well, I'll bring my computer downstairs away from Windows, and I'll just podcast stream live from my living room.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff up here against the windows. I think I might have to. I'll start relocating it in the next day or so.
Yeah, my computer being one of them, since the window is literally right there.
Well, I've got my desk where the computer part is like in the corner of these two walls, and there's windows on each one. So I've got two of my three monitors are basically right in front of a window. So
it's right there. If anything comes through that window, it's going through my computer.
Luckily, I have my main monitor. My big one's right in the corner, so maybe it would be it'd last a little bit longer. But yeah,
this is also the second story, so I don't really think anything's coming up here.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting. And if you know, I have this need and desire to have the windows in my house replaced, but I'm you know don't want it to be because they all blew out and the pressure blew the roof off when it was indoors. But that's the situation we're in. But anything else non-anxiety causing we can talk about right now?
No, I think it's time to wrap this up and wish everybody safety.
Some good sleep. Yes. Hopefully this will give you a little something fun to listen to. If you download it as a podcast form. As always, well, let me real quick. We were going to have two guests tonight before everything went pear-shaped. Derek from Shamrock, he's out getting his business and his home prepared. We also had lined up Evan from Brotherly Game, which covers Bethlehem Steel and Philadelphia Union, but he's the steel guy, was going to come on. And because that game's been postponed and because we were just doing kind of 45 minutes or so of on-air therapy for each other and anyone listening, we just kind of pushed that back, and we'll do that. We'll have to do it, I guess, in 2 weeks, because when we play them, it's a Wednesday night, isn't it? They've rescheduled it for a Wednesday night after the next home game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we'll have to do that for the next game. So now we've got no game this weekend. What do we talk about next week? Assuming we have
let's make sure we have power before we start planning next week.
So stay tuned to social media for us and for actual important announcements from your authorities. But look, if you're in an evacuation zone, they tell you to go, please go. If you have a way to get out and you feel you need to get out, get out. If you have to go to a shelter, do it. I know those are always the last resort, and Grady Judd doesn't want a lot of people coming to his, apparently. By the way, I have a lot of respect for what your county did.
What did we do now?
So in kind of response to what Grady Judd did, they said they are going to have a designated shelter for registered offenders. Because while I agree that there's a good point in having this kind of program and having these people registered, like they've fulfilled their jail requirements in some situations and they're living in society, like there needs to be some kind of accommodation made for them, not just telling them find another place to go.
Yeah, everybody deserves safety, even
So, but they're going to have them. They're going to be over at Wiregrass High, but in a separate area from the rest of the shelterees over there. So good for them. And no one's ever said it directly to us, but I have a feeling that certain members of our audience probably think this sometime when we occasionally abstractly, vaguely drop political things. It's kind of obvious which side towards which we lean. And like I told you earlier in the DMs, I've not been a fan of our current governor for the last, 8 years, policy wise. And, I've had family who worked for him, when his healthcare, corporation was being investigated. And I know some of the things that they were told to do that sound a little sketchy to me. But I think he's done a good job, at least, publicly getting out around the state, making appearances and making sure everyone's informed and aware about this. So I will tip my hat and compliment him on the job he's done in this situation.
I will second that. I have in the past been a harsh critic of his, but he is handling this the way I would want a governor of either party or any party to handle this.
It's almost as if you can disagree on policy and political beliefs, but still work together on important issues affecting the lives of people.
Let's not get crazy now.
How about that? All right, so we'll wrap it up there. We're going to send our We Love Yous out to all of you guys. Stay safe.
Everybody in Florida, the Caribbean islands that got demolished already, and everybody stay safe. Please, please, please.
And I'll send an extra special one out to you, Dan.
Heart hands.
Aww. Even though I hate heart hands, I'll do that. I'll throw that back at you. We didn't do YouTube this week, but we were just heart handing each other, which sounds like something, a reason why we wouldn't do YouTube. But it was there. We throw it out there every week about you can support the show with Patreon or Fubo or buying scarves or whatever. The best of the base stuff still open. Use your money on supplies, on food, on water, on whatever else you need. If you have money you would like to give us, give it to charity. Give it to the Red Cross. Give it to some. Put it to use locally because it's going to be needed. We'll be okay.
This podcast will go on no matter what.
Yeah.
Please take care of yourself and anybody else who needs it in these coming days.
But if you're cowering in the hallway in the next few days and need something to do and take your mind off it, give us a rating and a review on iPod or iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever it is. Makes us look good and it helps other people find our show. Thanks again, as always, to Wolfface for A, making cool music, and B, letting us use it for our theme. To Radio St. Pete for providing a place for us to break up the news and hurricane announcements that have been coming lately, but they're doing a killer job putting that information out there for people, being a source of trusted information. To our buddies down at Shamrock, stay safe, you guys. And Big Storm, stay safe, you guys, as well, too.
Speaking of Big Storm and hurricane supplies, I probably will be getting a growler or two filled tomorrow.
Are they doing water? Or are you going to put a... Jump the shark there a little bit.
I was going to go Palm Bender just for irony, okay. But.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Yeah, because I know some of the breweries are handing out water. I even saw a post on Facebook, the Chick-fil-A's in Tampa and Oldsmar are, if you bring in a container, they'll give you some of their filtered water to fill it up.
Oh, that's good. I mean, Starbucks is closing.
Yeah, my wife went to, there's a kind of a farmer's market down here. It's really more of a grocery store, but it's owned by a family-run farmer's market, and they were actually handing out gallon jugs today for free. That a local dairy farm had donated. So we've, you know, everyone's talking about they're not able to find water anywhere. I found a whole bunch in my kitchen. It's in the sink.
Dacia's work offered the employees cases of water for like $3 or something. So we stocked up. And as I've been drinking all through the podcast, I also have this giant Brita water filter pitcher here that will be filled, and there'll be other things as well.
Nice. Yeah, we've been filling Ziploc bags and pitchers, and we got some bottles at Publix over the weekend and everything before the mad rush all started. But enough of that. We will be back.
Eventually.
Irma can't stop us.
It's true.
She's scared. I ain't even afraid of her. Okay, I'm terrified, but it doesn't matter. What will happen, and we will be back afterwards as quickly as we can and talk about something. I don't know. There won't be really any soccer to talk about if we're on next week, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're good at wasting time.
Oh, yeah. All right, I think I'm good to play the song now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Yeah, just be safe. We love you. The Radicals here, the Radicals there, they get along.